Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hello, it's Luke Scanlon here, back with another episode of Alt Down Under. This episode 8. Honestly, I keep saying it every week, but these episodes really are flying by. It's been so much fun so far, and yeah, it's just a brilliant excuse to go to even more gigs, check out more new artists, and just share everything that I'm covering with you guys. So I hope you're loving this as much as I am and really enjoying these episodes. And on this episode, a band that I went and saw quite a while back now, and I've been wanting to speak to them for a very long time. It's the New South Wales rockers, The Vans. In just a wee while, I'll be chatting with Cameron Little, the man that seems to do it all. He plays guitar, lead guitar, keys. He's also on vocals as well. Honestly, this bloke, I keep mentioning it, really talented people. I've got to stop speaking to them because it's just dragging me down. It's just not good for me. That'll be coming up shortly in just a little moment. But first off, I just want to tell you about the gig I headed down to at the Corner in Melbourne. Very much a legendary venue, and it just got that up close and personal feel that you love about gig venues. And I don't think I've actually mentioned this on the show before, but one thing I really do love about going to a gig in Australia, obviously it is a lot hotter than back home. If I was back home right now, end of January, beginning of Feb, I would be freezing my tatas off, let me tell you. But obviously here being summer, but even in winter out here, they have magical air conditioning units at a gig. I mean, you do miss out on the proper heavy sweat, but it's just amazing, man. Just creature comforts. It's like, there's actually no need to be that fucking hot at a gig. And the fact there's aircon, you just walk in, gently sip your beer, and it's just like, Christ, mate, this is great. I'm at a gig, I'm not boiling, and I'm having a beer in my hand. So what else is there in life to love as much as this? So yes, the Corner, I was down there seeing Seagulls, obviously over from the UK, out on the road ahead of their new album coming later on this year. It's actually not coming until June, midway through the year. June 14th via Alt Records. Great name, nothing to do with this podcast though. And that album will be going by the name of Midnight Butterflies. How bloody poetic. Love that. But yeah, these guys are great live performers. They've been huge on the UK festival circuit for a number of years now. Probably, it's got to be 5-6 years at least. Always bring the energy, and just, if you want to go and take a look at their socials, go and have a look, because the videos that they put up and the way their crowd kicks off, it's just brilliant, man. It's just indie pop, hyped up, ramped up energy levels, and it's just pretty hard not to get swept up in that when you go and see them live. Also on the night, I saw Jacob Fitzgerald, a local lad from Melbourne, and I'm actually going to be chatting to him on the next episode of the podcast, which is cool. Managed to have a quick catch up with him at the end of the show. He was there with his band, The Electric City, and he owes me a chat because I bought one of his t-shirts. I got hooked in by the merch stand, as I'm sure a lot of you guys do. Great t-shirt though. So brought the t-shirt, then spoke to him and I was like, you're coming on my podcast. So he's going to be dropping by for a chat next week, which would be great. But his live set, obviously I'll be talking to him about this on the next episode. But he is it's just pure kind of like straight up rock. It's just really, really fun to go and see live. And he's a pretty cool dude and a very lovely chap. So that chat will be coming your way in the next episode.
Alt Down Under.
Also, some personal news. Guys, I didn't share this with you, but I actually got inked for the first time a couple of weeks ago. It was very much a spontaneous thing. My good friend Tom Wright, he went to go and get his own tattoo. I went down to the market on the Sunday, like a good lad, went and got all my fresh veggies for the week ahead. And I was meant to just drop by, say hello, check out what he's having done. And I was like, I had this creeping, this intrusive thought enter my mind. I was like, I have wanted to get the Libertines tattoo for a while. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's the tattoo that both the front men have got, Pete Doherty and Carl Barrett. And it's just Libertine across their arm. And I've got it in the same spot that Carl's got his, in his handwriting. And so within an hour of this intrusive thought creeping into my mind, I was there with a stencil, getting my arm shaved and getting ink. So I was like, shit, I think all it took was me to actually step foot into a tattoo parlour. And there it is. But now I'm a bit concerned because the floodgates have well and truly opened. I'm like, what else am I getting? So any of you listening who have a tattoo, I'm pretty sure you will know what I'm talking about, because once they heal and you get over this slight panic that everything's going a bit crispy, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, shit, that's pretty cool. Who knows? Who knows what other artists I'll be adding on there? I mean, David Bowie, the Thunderbolt, will probably be happening at some point. So watch this space.
Not a POM! Judging Aussie tunes, alt down under.
All right, enough of my fucking rambling. Let's get in to the episode for real. My conversation with New South Wales indie rockers, formed in 2012. They dropped their second album last year, dropped mid-2023, Last of Your Kind. These guys are just laced with beautiful harmonies, real emotive tunes as well. They've been on tour with some real impressive artists, playing support for the likes of the Kooks, the Wombats, and Catfish and the Bottlemen. They're not fucking about, these guys. Here's my chat with Cameron Little, lead guitarist, the man on keys and on vocals for The Vans. All right, we are now joined by the brilliant Cameron Little, guitar, back and vocals, keyboardist, superstar from The Vans. How are you, sir?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm very good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's good to have a chat with you, mate, because I think I saw you guys. I actually can't even remember when it was. I think it might have been around like July time. It was at the ESPY in Melbourne. It was quite a while ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a great night, man. You were just telling me you'd spent the day at the beach and then you were sat at the piano. Does that mean you're writing some new stuff already?
Yeah, always. It's pretty much every morning if I'm home, I pretty much wake up, have a whole bunch of coffees and just sit at the piano for a while. And then, I don't know, today, like I was just telling you, I just looked at my schedule. I was like, oh, it's just, look, I had this, but this wasn't until like 7 at night. So it's kind of, it's hard to take a day off without having like a bit of guilt for me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I imagine for a band, that's actually quite a thing, because I'm sure, as with any kind of line of work, really, you're probably kind of like, shit, I could be doing something.
Yeah.
There's something else I need to tick off the list.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I'm always just kind of writing and it doesn't really stop at all. Some days are obviously better than others, or some days you just think about songs. You don't get on an instrument or anything.
Exactly. It's interesting, actually, because you are the man on the keys. It is interesting the amount of singers and bands I've spoken to in the past that do actually start off a lot of their writing process on the piano. A lot of them tend to do that. I don't know. Do you know, obviously, I have zero clue as to why that might be, but can you offer up potentially some insight into why that might be a handy thing when you are crafting a song?
I think a piano is just like such a nice sounding instrument. Number one, it's in tune, so I don't have to tune every time I get on it. I've got one in my living room.
All I'm hearing is you're just lazy, Cam. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much. So I've got one in my living room and it's just a nice place to sit. And I'll tell you what, since putting it in the living room, play it way more rather than if it's in some other room.
Interesting. So yeah, so obviously it sounds like you don't have to tune it. Is it quite easy, because it's like obviously a very stripped back instrument if you play it by yourself. Is it quite easy to hear the melody to what the song might sound like if it starts off on the piano?
Yeah, I think so. I think also because guitar is like my main instrument, I would say the song's a bit more simple chord wise or something, but I'd be less inclined to run with it. Whereas on piano, it's more like it can have four chords and still be interesting. I still write on guitar as well. It's just whatever's
nice, man,
happening at the time.
Yeah. Mate, let's have a chat about the recent tour. Was it November you guys were on the road?
Yes, November, yeah.
I think it was. It was 5 days across Australia. And as I say, I caught you on like your previous tour. And I was just having a flick through on your Instagram at the Vans Band.
Yes.
And taking a look. And I don't know if you would have seen this, but there was you put a post up about that tour. And there was a guy that left a comment on there, which I thought was great. He said, "I'm a 67 going on 68 year old bloke. You are truly an amazing band. On the airwaves and on the streams, Australian music is the best." And I thought, that is great. But it's interesting he left that, because when I saw you live and when I've listened to you, it has got that sound that does kind of span the generations. I think it's got such a sound that is just, it's got elements of nostalgia, elements of a newer sound.
I think we mostly listen to older music as well. So it kind of, I mean, I love new music and stuff. I did notice that about our crowds, though. Like, there is, like, kind of all generations of it. It's just, I don't know. I don't think we think about, we definitely don't think about demographic or really anything when we, like, write songs or make them. It's just, if the four of us think it's cool, because we're independent as well, so there's no one really in our ear going, "Oh, make it more this way," or something. So we just put it out and hope for the best, and whoever likes it, likes it.
Yeah, nice. What, just on that, because I was actually going to ask about you guys being an independent band, and I know there's pros and cons to it, having known a few bands going down the same route in the past. If you're talking to someone like an aspiring artist who was potentially like, oh, because I think everyone has the big thing, oh, getting signed, it's like the big dream ordeal, isn't it? But if someone was kind of weighing up doing it the independence route, what advice would you give to them if they were thinking about doing it tomorrow?
I mean, you kind of can do independent now. Obviously, there's, yeah, as you said, pros and cons of like having a label and having more money, but it's essentially just money, right? It's just like, if you're independent, you've got to govern yourself, fund everything. But if you have still the dream of wanting to be signed and stuff, just knowing what you're not willing to compromise in terms of like creatively. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have much advice. I'm still trying to figure out the music industry myself, honestly.
That's amazing. And you guys are like 10 years in. And you're
yeah,
still working
exactly.
it out. But I suppose it is because, yeah. like, yeah, I've kind of dipped my toe into the music industry, like in a PR and events sort of way. And I have mates that work on kind of more like the artist liaison side and the label side. But it is one of those industries where it's like you have a lot of people saying it's so shit and toxic, and other people love it. But it's just this ever-changing thing, isn't it? I can't imagine there's too many industries like it, really.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think the makeup, I mean, some people have both, some people have got like the real brain for all that side of things and still like creative brain and stuff. I'm not really wired that way personally, just I don't know, even just you gotta have like a team so you can kind of get plays, but we got a good team, we got good management, agency, publishing and stuff. So other than that, I pretty much just focus on writing songs and playing music.
As it bloody should be, mate. Let everyone else worry about the all the noise outside of the band. You guys concentrate on making great records.
Yeah.
That's great. Also, going back to just checking on what posts you guys have put up. I loved the, I think it was after the Forum show in Melbourne. It was just a video of people absolutely like loving life and buzzing after it. He's like, "Mate, fucking unreal." I feel like that was the general consensus for that gig. Was there a standout of the 5 dates that you boys had on that tour?
They were all so good. They were all so fun. Probably, I mean, we always like playing in Sydney or Wollongong because that's usually the one our families come to and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's a good time. But just some of the venues, it was just all the shows were so fun. I wouldn't say there's a favourite. And like crowds are different. Like definitely the crowds in Brisbane have always been rowdier than like Melbourne or something.
Oh, really? Oh, I feel like...
rowdy not meaning better or worse, just rowdy.
Well, I was going to be like, are we going to have to start a contest now? Oak Down Under, let's start a running poll. Who has the rowdier crowds?
Yeah, rad. But no, everyone's still great. This isn't like a disparaging comment, but Melbourne is... as soon as you go, I was like, yeah. But Brisbane's just like...
Nice.
And if you watch those videos after the gig asking them, the Brisbane one, people are pretty rowdy in those as well.
Yeah, I need to check that one as well. Just on, because obviously you mentioned you guys have got family in sort of Sydney, Wollongong area. Is it Kiama that you guys are all from? Is that right?
So Jim Singer is from Kiama, and then I'm from a place called Culburra Beach, which is about an hour further south. And then Sweetie's from around there, bass player, and then Bano, our drummer, grew up in Wollongong. But now we all live literally kind of like within a K of each other in like the same town.
Nice, man. So, yeah, I guess you guys, yeah, you've known each other quite a while now then. One thing I do need to know, Jimmy's hair.
Yes.
Run me through it. Does he have to take a lot of products on the road? I mean, I could ask you the same question because you have a pretty fantastic head of hair as well. But is Jimmy got much upkeep of that hair
going on when
he's on the road?
No, I wouldn't say on the road. I'd say, I don't know. I think it's just natural. Like a lot of things at Jim just kind of come naturally to him. And I know he uses Kevin Murphy shampoo and conditioner.
Shout out to
Kevin Murphy, and that got me onto it actually.
Down Under, sponsored by Kevin Murphy shampoo.
Well, I used to just use this one container which just had everything for everything. You wash your hair with it, you wash your body with it, probably brush teeth with it. You know that it's like when you go to a motel and there's just one thing with a pump.
Yeah, you can also wax your furniture with it.
Yeah,
anything you want to do, you can do with it.
Yeah, strip That's the amazing. Paint off your walls.
Just on that then, because I'm speaking of a man, with a bit of a shit hairline. So the hair envy is very real with you guys. If I had Jimmy's hair, I'd be checking myself out all the time in the mirror before going out on stage. What have you guys got going on in terms of a pre-show ritual? Is there anything that has been locked in from the early days that you still do now?
We kind of just, like, pre-show is always, I always say, like, being on the road, you're either, like, in a big rush or you're doing nothing. You're just waiting around. So it's, like, rush to the venue, sound check, and it's, like, oh, you're not on for 5 hours. But probably don't go anywhere. Mm. So we just got to have a couple of beers and talk and hang out. And then, we do a huddle. We do a huddle before we go on stage, which...
Nice. Who's like the ringleader in the huddle? Who's leading the speech? The pre-war speech?
We don't really do it. We don't do like a hands in. We don't really do a speech. We kind of just go, let's go, boys. I know it's very...
I love that. Get the energy pumping. Very nice.
Yeah, no one's given a big speech.
Yeah. I want like Oscar-worthy speeches before you go out, you know, like really rallying the troops. So, mate, on the recent album, second album, Last of Your Kind, what's the feedback been on that now we're kind of like several months down the line from release date?
It's been all pretty good. We don't really have like haters, quote unquote. I kind of wish we did. I kind of wish we had some comments on there.
Yeah, that'd be a bit more fun almost, just calling you out.
I'm not saying like everyone loves us. I'm just saying like maybe we're not known by enough people to have haters, because I feel like it's kind of a compliment. If you've got a bunch of people who don't like you, it's like, oh, they know about us.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, it's the response has been really good. I mean, the shows are great, and that's kind of the ultimate response.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
because I think on that record, I think my standout is probably the title track. I just think some tracks really do somehow just capture something like a feeling or like a general life feeling. I think it's like the rolling drum beat, that really cool like glitchy synthy sound that plays underneath. I don't know what it is. It's one that some tracks just make you stop and like just go. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah.
Was that the first track that came into being from that album, with it being the title track?
Probably like the first idea, but one of the last songs finished being written. So I kind of did that on my like keyboard. I just had this button that this is a boring story, but I'll tell it anyway. And you hold down the button, which makes the glitchy kind of loop sound. And lastly, it's super easy to play. It's two notes and some bass stuff, but I've had that since like 2020, and I think just like this little 1 minute demo, and then I think I was singing over it like the "There's no doubt in my mind, you're the last of your kind," and then there was some other lyrics, and then we kind of shelved it for ages, and then I literally like a week before we went to record the last six songs of the album, were like, that should go on it because it's I think the sound was the most kind of different sounding thing for us. And then we just wanted that synth sound. So we built a song around it. And then good thing we did, because then we got an album title. I don't know what we would have called.
Yeah, that, doing the work for you. Yeah, I, as I say, mate, just that track, I just think is like, I particularly a track that builds and builds and builds and builds like that. And it's very special live. I think I don't know what it is. It just hits you right in the feels, man.
Well, thank you very much. I think that's what we're going for, so.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, let's take a trip down to the dream gig venue.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Fuck, I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
All right, Mr. Cameron Little of the Vans. First up, please give me the name of the venue and its capacity. This can be any name, any capacity.
Oh, it'd have to be like the Thunderdome.
The Thunderdome.
Say the Thunderdome. Just somewhere just epic. It'll be a dome.
Beautiful.
Since there's no budget for this and it's hypothetical, it'll be a rip-off of the Las Vegas Sphere, but bigger.
So, yeah, what's the cap on that?
The cap on that is whatever the Las Vegas Sphere is, but a little bigger. Let's say...
Just add one. So it is bigger.
Yeah, just add one. Let's say 20,000+.
Fuck yeah.
25,000. Well, Thunderdome feels like it needs more people.
Thunderdome sounds like it could house the entire planet.
It sounds like a nickname for the Earth. Thunderdome.
Thunderdome. Mate, if it all doesn't work out, just start a metal band called Thunderdome. I think that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I'd get on board with that. Okay, up next, we have dress code. What are you going for, mate?
God, I was going to say black tie, but now I've called the place Thunderdome. I feel...
You shot yourself in the foot.
It's not really a cocktail event. I'm going to go a very diplomatic answer here, which is whatever anyone wants.
Awesome.
Whatever you want.
Did you ever have a weird phase of going out when you look back now on pictures and you're like, what was I thinking there?
Of what I was wearing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I used to do heaps of... I do heaps of layers, but I'd roll every sleeve over. And, like, this is when I still, like, lived at home, like, when I was a teenager. My mum did my washing. She's like, why is there so much fucking washing here?
Yeah, because I'm wearing 15 layers every time I go out.
Yeah, I did stuff like that. I've worn some weird necklaces, like big beady things, and yeah, I've definitely had that feeling looking back at me, like, I don't know. Through high school, I just wore the Bintang shirts you can get from Bali.
Yeah.
I went over there and bought like 30 of them, and it's all I wore for like from like age 14 to 17, pretty much. Because my school wasn't very big on uniforms.
Mate, that's all you need. Why not? Rep a bit of Bintang t-shirts. Brilliant. Get me back to Bali.
That's the dress code for the Thunderdome. Bintang
t-shirts. Bintang t-shirts. I like that. Okay, next up, mate, we have the free drink that you're going to have on tap in the Thunderdome.
Oh, because I want to please everyone. I was going to say just like a really good pale ale. Yeah, I'm going to stick with that. You can buy others, but just a really nice pale ale. Probably a Cooper's Green.
Full respect.
We'll go with that. Yeah, I like a Cooper's Green.
Not bad. Next, the free food. There's like a buffet situation going on here.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of it. Free food. Again, my mind just goes to like pleasing everybody. But if it was just in my mind, it'd probably be fried chicken type stuff. Just a fried chicken.
Mate, why is fried chicken so good? I've no idea. It's just the most satisfying thing to eat.
I thought I'd grow out of it. Here I am, like 30 years old. I'm just like, KFC, I'm gone.
Yeah, have you just got loads of like old Bintang t-shirts with like KFC stains all over them?
Yes, as I do.
Which are now firmly in the archive.
My old van, the lads started calling my old van the chicken bus. Just because, you know, when you're touring... It's the kind of like tripe that you have to eat bad is kind of true. Like most of the only things that are open is like Macca's and KFC by the time you get to eat. So yeah, it's called the chicken bus.
The chicken bus. I can smell that bus from here.
Yeah, smells great.
Great. Next up, we have the Support Act. Dead or alive as well, this can be. And you can have a few if you want, because some people have been taking a piss. They've had like 4 support acts. But have as many as you want, but not too many.
All right, if we're doing Thunderdome, we have to get bands that will... You get like Motley Crue, just so you can get Tommy Lee like rolling around in the cage on the drums.
Yes.
And then you get something different like War on Drugs. I saw War on Drugs last night, not before. That was awesome. I just love the idea of these bands opening for us.
And yeah, I know. It's great, isn't it? I had someone go for Queen with Freddie Mercury as well.
Yeah. And then we go on as like the headline act. And then when we come off, AC/DC stuff. And they're like, oh, there's a whole other band on. Secret headline.
So, a surprise set from AC/DC. Amazing. They'd have to start with Thunderstruck as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah, in the Thunderdome.
At the Thunderdome. They'd have to. Okay, mate. And to wrap up the dream gig venue, I need to know who is doing your security on the front door.
I'd get The Rock. I'd get The Rock and a bunch of UFC fighters.
are you expecting a lot of shit to go down?
At the Thunderdome?
I shouldn't have asked. I should have known. I'm sorry.
Motley Crue playing, chicken wings flying everywhere. Everyone on the pale ale. Yeah, probably. I mean, the more the better.
Yeah.
But you get Rock to be head of security just because he'd give the, I feel like he would be good with a bunch of people around being like, you cover this area.
He'd be in command of the whole situation. I actually met this guy once who was like... We were out for drinks and he was like, oh, I'll take a whiskey on the Dwayne's. And I was like, you what? I was like, on the Dwayne's. He was like, The Rock Johnson. No, that is terrible. That is dad joke.
I'm taking it. I'm going to use
it. So ridiculous. Well, Cameron, mate, thanks so much for dropping by, giving us the Thunderdome. And best of luck for all the future endeavours for the Vans, man.
Thank you, Luke. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, man. And see you in Melbourne.
Alternative Down Under.
Cameron Little, what a gem. I really did not anticipate him picking Thunderdome as the name of his venue. I have to say, the mellow nature of Cameron, I was really not expecting such like a fierce gig venue name to come out of his mouth, to be honest. There you go. And just fried chicken for all. If you're not getting on board with that, then I don't know what is going to impress you, unless you're obviously a vegetarian. But yeah, thanks again to Cam. Really, really loved that chat with him, and just such a nice guy to have a sit down with about music, and just seems to really roll with the punches of the music industry, because doing this and interviewing artists, for instance, like Ruby Cannon, who we had on a couple of episodes ago, it can be pretty cruel out there and pretty tough to get yourself known and to kind of make waves. But it's all about getting your music out there and just pursuing and keeping that level of persistence. And I guess being a bit hard-shelled as well and having that resilience there to keep pushing through, because I think at the end of the day, good music does reach the right people and does get you the right crowd. You find your people with your music. So, yeah, it's brilliant that they're going strong. And that second album that came out last year, Last of Your Kind, go and have a listen. First album, Through the Walls, which is now 5 years old. What the hell? That's also a mega, mega listen as well. Get your ears around that one. And yes, if you do want to catch the Vans on tour, I'm liking this, a big fan of this. They're heading out on a regional tour around Australia, a huge 21 dates. That kicks off on the 22nd of Feb when they're in South Morang at Commercial Hotel. So yeah, head to their socials at the Vans Band and get your tickets now, kids. And yeah, God, they're on the road for a long time. 22nd of Feb to the 20th of April when they wrap things up in Gold Coast. So yeah, geez, 2 months to go and hit up all the regional areas of Australia. So Jesus, really racking up the miles. As for next time, I'll be back when I speak to Jacob Fitzgerald. As I said earlier in the show, caught up with him at the end of his set when he just warmed the crowd up for Seagulls. So yeah, I'm probably going to have to dig out my t-shirt. I think I've hung it up in my wardrobe. I need to track it down because I was a little bit pissed when I came home after that. I'll find it and probably wear it like a little fanboy in the interview. So yeah, that'll be with you next week. In the meantime, like, subscribe, tell your pals about us, and let's keep this going. That's it for another episode. As always, like, subscribe, follow, do whatever, tell your mates about us, and help us grow this even more. Really enjoyed doing this. Back with a new episode next week. Take it easy.
Alternative Down Under.